morning. God bless you all. Our first Bible reading this morning is taken from the first book in the Bible, book of Genesis, and chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, starting from verse 1. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, 'If as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." And then we have a second reading. It's in Genesis chapter 28. And starting at verse 10. The background to this reading is that Jacob's had to leave his home. His brother Esau is out to get him, to kill him, because he's stolen the birthright and the blessing. And Jacob's had to leave, and here we find him en route. He's going to stay with his brother, not his brother, his uncle Laban. Verse 10. "Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you.' When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" From those two readings, I want to speak this morning, and first of all, turning to this beginning of sort of things, where they wanted to build a city. There was a meeting, a conference, and at that time everybody spoke the same language, common speech. And they had a plan. You can imagine them gathering together. Architects and planners, those involved in the manufacture of bricks, had a meeting, and they said, "Come, let us make bricks and let us build ourselves a city so that we can make a name for ourselves." You can imagine that this was the rhetoric. This was probably a politician who stood up and rallied the people, and they were full of enthusiasm. They were enthused to build a city. And its most central thing was this huge tower which they were going to build, which they could, would reach up into the heavens. And the reason behind it all was that they didn't want to be scattering abroad. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Of course, God was not pleased with what they were doing. I suppose if they could have cast their minds into the future, they would have grabbed that song that Frank Sinatra sang. I did it my way. I imagine when they were manufacturing the bricks, you know, they were made of clay, no doubt, and they were baked. Many a man would have his initials in the side of the brick just to, you know, remember that I was involved in the building of this great monument, this huge tower. Of course, pride was at the back of it all. And God was not pleased with it. And as we read in the scripture, God came down and he confused their languages. I looked it up, how many languages are there in the world? And you'll be amazed. According to Wikipedia and several other sources, they said there are 6,500 different languages. That is amazing, isn't it? So you can imagine the confusion when they were trying to order bricks. Nobody knew what was being ordered. You know, it was complete confusion. I remember being in hospital in Lanzarote where they speak Spanish. And it was very difficult when the surgeon came round. You were worried if, in case you gave information out, that, you know, you might be saying, which leg do you want off then? And it, you know, and it was neither. My Spanish was very limited. Very limited indeed. All I could do was get la cuenta, por favor, which means, can I have the bill? And that's about my limit. So you can imagine the confusion. Of course, the Bible identifies many of kings. You see, this was the beginning of kingdoms. Babel, he got the name Babel, which means confusion. Which also, in the Hebrew, was Babylon. From this city, eventually, a great nation would come, the Babylonians. But even that was destroyed eventually. And other kingdoms have followed since. But in all of it, God wasn't there. I heard about a speech that Tony Blair was trying to put together, and for some reason in his speech he mentioned, when he was Prime Minister, he mentioned God. I don't know exactly what he said. He mentioned God, but Peter Mandelson that was there said, Tony, he said, we don't do God. That's what he said, we do not do God. And I suppose in this building of this tower, God was not in it. This was man's doing. This was man's manufacture, and man's pride was at the back of it. But I want to come now to another builder. You see, I want to come to a builder who God is. God builds. And we'll come to this story about Jacob. Now, Jacob was at rock bottom. You can imagine his situation. He'd had to leave home. Left his mother and his father, and his brother didn't want anything to do with him. He'd been a cheat. He deceived his father, and he'd stolen the blessing, and he'd had to leave. Otherwise, when his father died, Esau said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill him. And so Jacob had to leave. And you find him here, out in the wild, en route to meet his uncle. And it's sunset. And he beds down for the night. As I say, he was at rock bottom, literally, for he took a stone to be his pillar. I don't know if he had any memory foam to place on top of it. I'm not sure. It didn't say. He said he took a stone. And that was his pillar that night. But that night he would dream a dream that he would never forget. He dreamt a dream. And it was a God-given dream. And in this dream he saw a stairway reaching from the earth right into the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and descending up and down this stairway. And God spoke to him and gave him promises. And he realized that God was with him. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. This is the gate of heaven. You see, God was in this. Now, this stairway, you see how different it is. This stairway, which was a real thing in his dreams, was God built. It was God's doing. You know, they tried to build in the Tower of Babel was man's doing. They said to reach up into the heavens, but it was really reaching nowhere. It certainly wasn't reaching God. But here was a stairway built by God that was reaching to the heavens. Now this stairway's got an amazing name, and you pick up its name in the New Testament, for Jesus makes reference to this stairway in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is what he said. Jesus was actually speaking to a guy called Nathanael, who just had come along to hear what Jesus had to say. And the other disciples were gathered round also. And in John chapter 1, verse 57, this is what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you the truth, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now remember Jacob's dream. He saw a stairway with the angels ascending and descending on the stairway. Here Jesus refers to the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Son of Man, of course, was a great title that Jesus attached to himself. He called himself the Son of Man on many occasions. And what he's saying is, I am that stairway, you see. This stairway had great meaning. You know, when Jacob saw that stairway, he was seeing the very work of God, God built, and it spoke of Jesus Christ. You know, Jacob was receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ right there where he lay in his sleep, in his dreams. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ later on would talk about this stairway in another way. The disciples said to him, "Show us the Father," they said, "and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus went on to say, he said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That term, "I am the way," he could have said, "I am the stairway." You know, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he made a way, a dramatic way. He made a stairway. You know, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was the place of God's manufacture. He manufactured a way through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ in his last words said, "It is finished," it is said that the temple veil, there was a veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. And that great veil, which was very thick, was split from top to bottom. And God was giving that as an illustration to say, "Look, the way is opened into my presence, into the very holy of holies." And Jesus Christ made a way. You know, that stairway has a great meaning for us this morning. Jacob was at rock bottom. And perhaps you this morning feel that rock bottom. Perhaps you've got concerns about your own personal health, or it might be your own spiritual welfare. There might all sorts of things get tangled up in our minds, and we have our uppers and our downers. Jacob was on a downer, yet he was presented with this picture of a stairway into heaven. It means we have access to God. And to the Christian, it means we have access to God. We can pray to him anywhere, any place, any time. You know, those people at the Tower of Babel, they said, "We want to make a name for ourselves." That's what they said. "We're building this because we want to make a name for ourselves." But you know, in the eyes of God, they already had a name. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to look on the grandeur of this tower and think, "Look what we built." But they already had a name, and the name is not a very good one. When God looks down on mankind, God has a name for them. He calls them dead in sin, and dead in sin, in trespasses and transgressions. All mankind, that's the name that God gives. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth of ours, to deal with the problem that we have this name, that we are sinners, separated from God. And it's only through Jesus Christ that things are put right. You see, even Jacob had a name. You know what his name meant? It meant to grasp. When he was born, he had a twin brother, Esau, who came out first. But hanging onto the heel of Esau was Jacob, literally, when he was born. Grasping the heel. And that's what his name meant, Jacob, he who grasps. But of course we know he's a grasper. When he came of age, he grasped after the birthright and the the blessing of Esau. He stole it. He deceived his father. He was a grasper, a grabber, you see. He stole. And that's the name that Jacob had. But you know, with his encounter with God, eventually his name was changed to Israel. Israel, which was a far better name. You see, we all have a name that speaks of our failings in the eyes of God. We're called sinners in the eyes of God. But through Jesus Christ, he gives us a new name. You know, Jesus Christ, we're talking this morning, of course, about building towers and cities. And we're talking about God being a builder, building a stairway. You know, Jesus Christ is a builder. He said on one occasion, he said, "I will build my church." That's what he said. "I will build my church." And he spoke about the church as being his kingdom. You know, the world is full of kingdoms, isn't it? We have the kingdom of Australia, or the kingdom of New Zealand, or the kingdom of Great Britain, or the kingdom of the EU, or the kingdom of the United States of America. But there's something that is far more important. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, it wasn't wrong particularly for these people, these back, you know, when they built the Tower of Babel. It wasn't wrong for them to build houses for themselves. We all need to live in houses, don't we? It wasn't wrong to build a kingdom in so much. But you see, there's something that's far more important. The kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Seek his kingdom first." That comes first. There was a rich man. Jesus gave the story about a rich man. He gazed through his kitchen window one day, and he was coming of age, was this rich man. He was about to retire. In fact, he was on the very, very doorstep. He was going to retire, and he looked out through his kitchen window, and he saw all his barns that were full of grain, and all his animals and whatever he owned. He had it all laid up for retirement. He thought, "This is it. This is what I've been working for." He'd perhaps had been a great benefactor to other people, we don't know, but he'd certainly made it in life. He looked through that kitchen window, and this was the rich man's kingdom. He'd made it. And yet Jesus, in his story about this man, said the man was a fool, for that very night he died. And who has his wealth now? You see, he wasn't rich in the eyes of God. There's something that's far more important. The kingdom of God is so much more important than the kingdoms of this world. Jacob's dream. This stairway now. In the authorised version, he called it Jacob's ladder. But I think a stairway is better. It's far more substantial. It's a substantial thing. It means we have access to God. Now, you know, there's a road that runs through Israel. And I think there's parts of it still left. It's called the King's Highway. It was a trade route. It ran from Egypt right up to Nineveh or thereabouts. And it's called the King's Highway. It was a trade route. And I'd like to just to attach that name now to this stairway. The King's Highway. Because it's a trade route. The King's Highway, this trade route, these steps to God. For you see, it's full of traffic. It says angels were ascending and descending down this stairway. For us, the Christian, this stairway speaks to me of prayers going up. Our prayers are ascending continually when we cry out to God. God accepts our prayers into his very presence. But down the stairs comes God's grace. God's grace. You know, the Bible talks about God's love being poured out. to me, it seems to me it's like leaving the tap turned on and it just keeps flowing. That's God's grace. You know, in our praying to God, there can be a flow of grace into our life. It may be healing of the body. It may be wisdom that we need. It may be personal spiritual strength that we lack. But from God, things can flow. That's what Christian experience is all about. This stairway is so vital to us this morning. What is the strength of the Christian this morning? So often we think it's our enthusiasm. So often we think our strength is coming to church. Listen, the strength of the Christian comes from God. This stairway speaks about a traffic of goods that have got to come into our life. His strength, His peace, His joy, His Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what else comes down that stairway and into our souls. It's the very words of God. These words of God are so vital. When Jacob lay there with his head on that stone and he had that vision of the stairway, what did he receive? Because he did receive something from God. He received the promises of God. He received the very words of God. God spoke to him. You know, Jesus did many miracles. Jesus was on a mountain at one time and his clothes were glistening. They called on the Mount Transfiguration. And the disciples were absolutely amazed as he stood there with his clothes all glistening white and in great glory. But there was a voice and God spoke. And God said this, "This is my beloved Son. Look at him." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say look at him. He says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." This book speaks about God's Son. And God says to us this morning, listen to him. Listen to him. From this down this stairway, you see, comes the very words of God into our souls. It is so vital to us. So often as Christians, we flag along the way because we haven't gained access into this book. We've neglected it. We need to get stuck into this book. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the early Christian church, said this. He said, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly." You see, there's an abundance in this word. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying himself on one occasion for the whole church, said this, and he addressed it to the Father. He says, "Father," he says, "I have given them the words that you gave me." You see how important the word of God is to us this morning. Now, the question this morning, and we've talked about it earlier on, are you in or are you out? That's the question that's everyone's mind. Are you in or are you out? And you say, "What are you talking about? The EU, aren't you?" Well, no, I'm not. You know, we're talking about kingdoms this morning. There is the kingdom of the EU. Are we in or are we out? But we're talking about the kingdom of God. And the big question mark for each one of us to answer is this: are we in the kingdom of God? Or are we out? In the New Testament, it uses this term so often. The Apostle Paul used it. He spoke about Christians of being in Christ. And that's it. Are you in Christ? The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's a real thing. Are you in Christ? Are you in his kingdom? Now, this coming Thursday, you're going to vote and you're going to put a cross. You make a decision. You'll say, "I'm in or I'm out." It's the same thing with our Christian faith. We make a decision to be in or out. Many a person has decided, "It's not for me. It's not for me." They're out. But how foolish that decision is. It is so vital that we are in God's kingdom. So this morning, our God, He is the builder. You know, they built that Tower of Babel. What a waste of effort it was. You know, you can go to Babylon now. Babylon still exists as ruins. Ruined is finished. All that effort went into it. All that manufacture of bricks over, you know, over a long period of time. All that labour force that was recruited to put that city and that tower together. It's gone. But you know, we have a kingdom. A spiritual kingdom. That's an everlasting kingdom. That's the difference. You see, all our homes that we got back home, eventually, they're going to disappear. We'll probably disappear before that happens anyway. It all, you know, all your careers eventually come to naught. But there's one thing that doesn't come to naught. It's that which is in Christ. For the kingdom of Jesus Christ is eternal. It's everlasting. At school we used to pray, didn't we? I don't know if they still pray it anymore. They call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the prayer that the Lord gave us. You know, that one where we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we come out with that amazing statement, Thy kingdom come. He's not speaking about the EU. He's not talking about your career. He's not talking about your fame. He's talking about the coming kingdom of God. And so how vital it is, are you in or are you out? You say, how do you get into this kingdom? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, all men are sinners, but Jesus Christ died upon the cross to take away our sin. And when we come to Him, because the way's been opened up, He listens to our prayer and He takes away our sin and He makes us part of His everlasting kingdom. And one day this everlasting kingdom is going to be revealed and it's going to be everlasting and blessed forever. So there's the question this morning. Are you in? And as a Christian, are you aware the way has been opened up? There's a stairway, access to the very God. And you know, Jacob was so moved that day. It changed him completely. He realised, you know, he was a lonely man. Had to leave home, rock bottom. What a change. He suddenly realised that God was in his life and he had access to the God of grace. Let's sing a hymn together. I'm not sure which one it is. It's All My Days. That's it. It's 1158.